it's Monday, April 13th, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief, your fast and focused update on the stories shaping Israel and the Middle East. I'm Laura Sellier in Tel Aviv. President Trump has ordered a blockade on the Strait of Hormuz, a dramatic escalation aimed at crippling Iran's economy. But is it the right strategy to defeat Tehran? I put that to the former Israeli ambassador to the United States, Danny Ayalon. Hear our conversation in a moment, but first your headlines. And the US Navy is now moving to enforce that blockade from 10 a.m. Eastern time. American forces will prevent ships from entering or leaving Iranian waters in a direct attempt to choke off Iran's oil exports. The order came just hours after nuclear talks with Tehran collapsed, and Trump says he doesn't care if Iran returns to negotiations. He's warned that any attack on US forces or maritime traffic will be, quote, blown to hell. New figures show Iran carried out more than 1,600 executions last year, the highest number in decades. Groups like Iran Human Rights say that at one point executions were happening at a rate of 4 per day. Dozens of women were hanged. They warn the regime could escalate further to suppress dissent, with hundreds detained during recent protests now facing the death penalty. Israel and Lebanon are preparing for their first face-to-face talks since the 1980s, with the US State Department hosting negotiations tomorrow. Both sides will be represented by their ambassadors. But expectations are low. Meir Ben Shabbat, the head of the Misgav Institute, warns that Lebanon's government is unlikely to deliver the one thing Israel needs, the removal of the Hezbollah threat. He says any deal could fall short and collapse into a crisis that leaves Israel blamed for blocking Lebanese efforts to restore control. His bottom line is Israel should avoid making concessions that weaken security, even if that means no agreement at all. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israeli forces have already established a 10-kilometre buffer zone in southern Lebanon. In Gaza, the IDF continues to settle accounts with Hamas terrorists who took hostages on October 7th. Those killed in a weekend airstrike include a platoon commander who was behind the abduction and murder of Hersh Goldberg Polan. The military says troops on the ground worked with the Shin Bet to identify multiple suspects, and they were then targeted as they attempted to cross the ceasefire line. As Hamas refuses to disarm, Israel controls around 58% of the Gaza Strip. Well, on the battlefield, artificial intelligence is taking on a bigger role. Along the yellow line, Israel's deploying autonomous sensing towers and remote weapon systems that are designed to monitor activity and reduce the need for troops on the ground. Technology like the SMASH system that was developed by Smart Shooter can track moving targets from gunmen to drones and only fire when a hit is confirmed. Israel is marking Yom HaShoah. Ceremonies begin tonight at the Yad Vashem Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem. Tomorrow morning, a two-minute siren will bring the country to a standstill. New figures from the government show around 111,000 Holocaust survivors are living in Israel today. This year, the theme focuses on the Jewish family during the Holocaust and how Nazi persecution sought to destroy it. Well, before we hear today's conversation, a word of thanks to our sponsors, Amy and Jonathan Ayres, who made today's episode possible. Well, let's hear now from Danny Ayalon, Israel's former ambassador to the United States.
I guess at this point, the blockade is the most judicious step. It's quite amazing because usually in world's affairs, blockade comes before a war. Here we have it the reverse, because the Iranians, unfortunately, they do not care about their people. They were pulverized, but they still are standing because they rather die than surrender. The Achilles heel is the economy. And by blockading Hormuz and not allowing any shipments of oil out of Iran or any commodities coming into Iran, this may further deteriorate the situation over there. And maybe it will also instigate some popular uprise, although at this point it's still not seen in the offing.
Do you think the war will resume as it was before?
Well, that's a good question. I think it all depends on the Iranians. And the Iranians, as we see, very tough negotiators. But if the Iranians will continue to miscalculate and say no on everything, that means the nuclear issues, the missiles and Hormuz, then they will leave Trump no choice but to resume.
Let's talk about Lebanon. So Israel will hold direct talks with Beirut in Washington tomorrow. That's astonishing in itself. One of your successors, Ambassador Leiter, will be representing Israel. What do you think? Could we really have peace with Lebanon?
Very unlikely, because we are not really negotiating with the Lebanese government. Lebanon, unfortunately, is not sovereign and over its land. Lebanon has become for years now a proxy of Iran, and the Hezbollah, which is still the strongest military body in Lebanon, they can call the shots. And at this point, I guess because Iran is weaker, they have allowed these negotiations to start. However, will these negotiations also end up with an agreement? I hope so, but chances are very, very slim. I think from Israel's point of view, it's very important to continue and pound Hezbollah, and at the same time, try to bring about some kind of an agreement with Lebanon. Right now, everything is kind of touch and go, but I think Israel is doing the right thing by going into the negotiation table with the Lebanese government and demanding nothing less than the dismantling of Hezbollah.
Are you concerned about Israel's relations with the United States? The war is having an impact. High oil prices are also having an impact. But there was a survey out this week from the Pew Research Center, which suggests that 60% of American adults now have an unfavorable view of the Jewish state. What can we do about that?
Well, Laura, you're right. This is unheard of. I have never remembered such a low image of Israel in the United States. And this is a real strategic threat. The U.S., which is our best friend and ally, we rely on this partnership. If we lose the American population, then it will not be long before we lose the American Congress and then the administration. And we cannot afford that. This is why we have to really double down on working and reaching out to all segments of the American society. I'm afraid that there were a few mistakes made here in Israel, starting back in the elections of 2012, where Netanyahu as prime minister preferred at that time was Romney, the candidate, the Republican candidate against Obama. He preferred Romney, and he talked to Romney, and he welcomed Romney and not Obama. And Obama since not just Obama, the Democrats hold a grudge since then. And Netanyahu coming to Congress and again speaking against Obama, against the agreement he reached with Iran. Everything that Netanyahu said was right, but was it effective? It was not effective because, again, he lost whatever shred of trust the Democrats had. But now with the war, we're also losing some of the Republicans, the MAGA people, which are isolationists. They are against any deployment of American overseas. So they, it seems, or I guess the appearance is that it was Israel or Netanyahu that actually pulled Trump and convinced him to go into the war. So at this point, this is the result. As you mentioned, we are now losing on both sides, the Republican and the Democrats.
Will Israel always have to choose between being popular and being safe?
And indeed, when the choice is between our life and our image, of course, we always will choose life. But is it something which is preordained? Many times, yes. Never in the United States. But if you look at Europe, certainly in Arab countries, Muslim countries, we are, I would say, on the losing side of the PR no matter what we do. Laura, if I had $1 for Israeli public diplomacy, I will put the entire dollar on the United States, because the United States is more important for us than the rest of the world put together. And also because in the rest of the world, whatever we do, it will not help. So even though the facts are evident to everyone, still the Europeans would like to believe the lies of, let's say, the Palestinians or Iranians over the facts on the ground, because they choose to do that. And this is blatantly anti-Semitism.
Well, that's it. That's your Israel in 10 for today. Be sure to sign up for further updates. Goodbye.